Friends, I want to begin with a story I always use when talking about shepherds. A shepherd was looking after his sheep one day on the side of a deserted road when suddenly a fancy Mercedes-Benz screeched to a halt. The driver, dressed in an Armani suit, Florsheim shoes, Ray-Ban sunglasses, and a Rolex watch, gets out and asks the shepherd, "If I can tell you how many sheep you have here, will you give me one of them?" The shepherd looks at the young man and then looks at his large flock of grazing sheep and replies, "Okay." The young man parks his car, connects his laptop to his mobile, enters the NASA website, scans the ground using his GPS, opens the database with 60 Excel tables filled with logarithms and pivot tables, and prints out a 150-page report on his high-tech mini printer. He turns to the shepherd and says, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep here." Rather surprised, the shepherd replies, "That's correct. You can have a sheep." The young man takes the animal and puts it at the back of his Mercedes. And just as he's about to drive off, the shepherd says, "Hang on. If I can guess your profession, will you return my animal to me?" The young man answers, "Yes, why not?" The shepherd says, "You are an IT consultant." "How did you know that?" the young man asks. "Very simple," says the shepherd. "Firstly, you came here without being called. Secondly, you have charged me a fee for something I already know. And thirdly, you don't understand anything about my business. Now, can I have my dog back?" Friends, today I want to talk about shepherds in the Bible times. This was not a 40-hour-a-week job. They didn't come home at night. They were with their sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. During the day, they led their sheep to find water and grazing. They watched their sheep while they grazed. They kept an eye out for predators like wolves. And at night, they actually slept in the sheep pen with the sheep to guard against theft and animal attack. They really didn't have much contact with other people, which made them borderline social outcasts at the bottom of the social ladder, as it were. The group of shepherds that we're going to read about in our text were tending sheep for sacrifice in the temple. Historical documents, such as the Mishnah and the Talmud, tell us that the sheep for sacrifice were tended in the fields around Bethlehem. The Talmud and the Mishnah were the oral law of Judaism. 1,000 years earlier, David kept his father's sheep in the same pastures. And this morning we will learn a little about shepherding in Bible times, but more importantly, we will learn how the shepherds responded to the chief shepherd. And we can in turn do the same. Shepherds were excluded from much of the religious life because they couldn't keep the religious laws. For example, those laws required regular washing of the hands, but shepherds usually had dirty hands and they were considered unclean. The rules forbid anyone to work on the Sabbath, but the shepherds didn't get a day off. When everyone else was going to Jerusalem to make sacrifices at the temple or to participate in one of the annual feasts, shepherds had to be out on the field watching the sheep. Since they were constantly on the move to find new pasture for their flocks, they were looked on with suspicion. They were often accused of being thieves. The attitude was, if something came up missing, it must have been those shepherds. They were not permitted to give testimony in court because their word wasn't considered trustworthy. These poor guys, and to crown it all, they smelled like sheep. The Talmud, that is this oral laws of Judaism, it stated clearly, no help should be given to heathens or shepherds. Put it this way, friends. You probably wouldn't want your daughter to marry one. I'm sure that they were objects of disdain and probably of ugly, degrading humor. Now try to imagine just a picture of them sitting around a fire to keep warm on the cold nights in the hills around Bethlehem. Their conversation tilted towards complaining. I'm getting too old for this job. This is a young man's work. Those religious guys put us down and condemn us, and they use our sheep for sacrifices to atone for their sins. They may have been constant coughing in the conversation, the result of many cold nights and generally poor health conditions. In a musical called Child of the Promise by Michael and Stormy O'Martian, the song called Nothing Ever Happens to a Shepherd captures what it was like to be a shepherd. Let me read a few words from the song. It's cold outside in this God-forsaken place, and we stuck here with 1,000 sheep. While life is exciting for everybody else, the highlight of our day is sleep. It's lonely out here in this isolated job. Our position is without esteem. We socially challenge, we society scourge. We're not exactly every woman's dream. Shepherds have a humbled purpose. Of course, few people care. Sometimes I wonder if God knows we exist, and if he does, he's forgotten where. Nothing ever happens to a shepherd. Life is boring as can be. While exciting things occur all over the world, nothing ever happens to me. These words make you understand what it was like to be a shepherd. I'm sure nobody woke up one day and said, you know what I want to be when I'm grown up? I want to be a shepherd. Now imagine, friends, that you were God and you wanted to announce the most amazing, incredible, joyous news ever. An event that will literally change the course of history. The birth of your only son, Jesus Christ, who would be the savior of the whole world, the one for whom the nation of Israel has been waiting and hoping and praying for thousands of years. And finally he has come. Who do you announce it to? Who do you invite to come and see the new baby? Perhaps you would pick the beautiful people of society. When the child is born to a member of the British royal family, for instance, let's just take when Princess Diana's son William or Harry was born. They certainly didn't send messengers out to break the news to the fishmongers at Billingsgate's fishing market. And they didn't send invitations out to the British taxi cab drivers in London to come and see Charles and Diana and the newborn baby in Windsor Castle. If any invitations were sent, I guarantee you, they went to royalty, dignitaries, political leaders, and foreign heads of state. Friends, it is safe to assume then that the event like the birth of Jesus Christ would be announced to people like kings and governors and magistrates and even Caesar. Religious leaders such as priests and rabbis and synagogue officials and head of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, that they would be invited to come and see Jesus. But did that happen? No, none of them were invited. Only one invitation from God to visit Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus goes out to a bunch of uneducated, smelly, low-class, social and religious outcasts, a bunch of shepherds. A bunch of shepherds you wouldn't even give a second look to. When the time came, friends, to tell Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptist, God sent one angel. When the time came to tell Mary about the birth of Jesus, God sent one angel. When the time came to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the whole sky was full of angels. Amen. Bible says, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Let's read about it in the Bible. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So why did God do this? Why did he send these angels to announce the birth of Jesus to these shepherds, to invite them and them only to come to see the baby? Several possible answers have been proposed, such as the fact that Jesus himself will later be called the Good Shepherd, caring for us, his flock. But I prefer a simpler explanation. God wanted to show that his love does not discriminate on the basis of class or education or political power or wealth or social standing. Isn't that wonderful? He does not reject kings and he does not respect kings and princes more than carpenters and farmers. He does not value pastors and priests above the people in the pew. He does not show favoritism. He does not give preferential treatment to one group over another. His love is available to all, friends. Amen. On the same basis. In fact, many passages in scripture indicate that God loves to lift up the lowly and the humble, while at the same time bringing down the proud and the haughty. Let's just read a few of those scriptures. 2 Samuel 22:28. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with those who are contrite and humble in spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Matthew 23, verse 12 says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. One more. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Friends, God was demonstrating by his choice of these humble shepherds to be the first to receive the news of Christ's birth that Jesus was not going to be the savior only of the political and social and the religious elite, that Jesus is the savior of all. Amen? Amen. He doesn't give preferential treatment to one group or another. His love is offered indiscriminately to everyone who will repent and believe, anyone who will trust him as Savior. Paul makes the same point in his first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So what does this mean, friends, for you and me? Well, if you identify with the shepherds, it should be very encouraging. If you say, Keith, I can identify with these shepherds. Perhaps you see yourself as kind of on the outside looking in. Perhaps that's how you see yourself. I imagine that many nights the shepherds, as they sat on the hills around Bethlehem in this cold coffin and so on, with these animals to keep them company, they looked over at the village, saw the lights of the homes and heard the faint sound of families, people laughing, and they wished that they could be a part of that. Maybe you felt that way too. You're not one of the beautiful people of society, especially you're not wealthy, you're not powerful, and you're not influential. You're not likely to ever see your name in the paper for an accomplishment. Spiritually, you feel like you don't measure up to others. Sparse church attendance, little Bible reading, infrequent prayer, and you think that God has a low opinion of you. On the surface, everything looks great, but on the inside, you feel like you don't fit in. Perhaps you feel like a shepherd. You feel that God doesn't really care. He couldn't care about someone like you. Friends, if any of that description strikes a chord in you, then I have good news. I have great news. What, you didn't hear? I have the best news. God loves you. Amen. 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 God loves you. Just like he loved those shepherds. You are special to him. Just like those shepherds were special to him. So special that he gave them the incredible privilege of being the first to hear about Jesus's birth, being the first other than Mary and Joseph to lay eyes on baby Jesus, being the first to tell others about Jesus. Friends, that's how much God loved these people. God did this to the shepherds, not in spite of who they were, but because of who they were. They were humble, ordinary people with no high opinions of themselves. Simple people who were willing to simply believe what God told them and to simply do what God commanded them to do. When they heard the news, they didn't seek out, wait, no, buddy. You know what we need to do? We need to go and find these religious professionals for a second opinion. They simply accepted what the angels told them. When they were invited to visit Bethlehem to see the new Messiah, newborn Messiah, they didn't worry about, who's going to look after these sheep? They didn't sit around debating, and how are we going to go about finding the baby in a town called Bethlehem? Where do we start? No, they didn't have any of those discussions. They simply obeyed and went. But will you do that today, friends? Will you receive his love? Will you believe what he says and do what he asks? Will you acknowledge your need for forgiveness and put your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation? You don't need to be a genius or be a part of the in crowd. You just need to believe and obey. When angels left the shepherds, I suspect they all looked at each other in a with a dazed expression. You know what they said, verse 15 and 16? Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was laying in the manger. The shepherds acted on what they heard. They went to see the baby they were told about. Friends, when God speaks, it's very important that you take the appropriate action. The message of Christmas calls us to action. For some, God calls you to the most basic and essential action. God is calling you this morning to give your life to Him, to give your heart to Him. He's not looking for your admiration. He's not calling for your approval. He wants your heart and your life. He wants it so much that He came to earth to reach you. He went to the cross to set you free from sin of the past. He rose from the dead to show you that He is telling the truth and to give you a glimpse of what lies ahead of those for those who follow Him. Are you one of those people? Are you one of those who have kept faith on the periphery, on the outskirts of your life? Are you content to give God a nod every now and again in the hope that it will keep you in good terms with Him? Well, today the message of salvation is offered to you free of charge. Will you come to Him? Others of you have taken this first step, but for you, it may be God is calling you to do something different. Maybe He's calling you to turn away from something you know is wrong. You know because God has shown them to you. Maybe He's calling you to mend a broken relationship. Maybe He's calling you to do something to help someone who is in need. Maybe He's calling you to ask someone for help. Maybe He's asking you to stop living in the past. Stop reliving the hurts. Maybe He's calling you to go to someone else and tell them about the one who came to die in their place. Do something bold this Christmas, friends. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Follow the example of the shepherds and dare to act on what God tells you to do. Mm-hmm. Friends, when the shepherd responded appropriately to that message, they discovered a wonder that changed their lives. Now these shy, uneducated, backward, smelly shepherds, they started to stop people in the street. Say, hang on, buddy. Okay. They stopped strangers to tell them about the baby they saw in the manger. A new boldness came over them, and they were changed. And the Bible says in verse 17 and 18, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what shepherds said to them. That's what the good news of Jesus Christ does. You stand amazed at the goodness of God towards you, friends. He loves you to distraction. And when you hear that good news, your life can never be the same when you put your faith and trust in Him. The Bible says in verse 20, the shepherds returned. Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I'm not saying, friends, listen to this, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that from that moment on, the shepherds didn't have problems. I'm sure they hated their jobs. I'm sure they still had people making jokes about them, prejudice. I'm sure they still argued with one another. I'm sure they still went home and had to face their wives and grumbling. Everything seemed the same. But everything was different. Amen.
Amen.
Their perspective had changed. Why? They met the Savior. They met the Savior with these pink cheeks to match. There's he laying in the manger. Yes. Fear was replaced with joy. Loneliness was replaced with companionship. Spiritual exclusion was replaced with relationship. And hate was replaced with love. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Jesus does, friends. Right. The joy of the Lord doesn't always change our circumstances, but it changes our lives.
Right.
The shepherds found the joy the world could not give, nor could the world take away. They found the wholeness that they could not achieve through counseling. These men found the love that no person could ever give them. They found the Lord. And if you haven't yet, friends, this Christmas is your turn.
Amen.
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 Let me conclude. Why not make this Christmas a Christmas to remember? Not because of the gift you will purchase, you will give, you will receive, you will open, no. But because this is the day you go to Bethlehem and see the baby, as it were. But I warn you, friends, when you get there, don't be surprised if you notice a distinct smell of sheep. Remember, the shepherds were there before you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You are so lovely, Lord. We get so excited. Man, it must have been so lovely for those shepherds. And Lord, we thank you from their lives. You know, we can identify with them. Just ordinary people. Frowned upon by many, Lord, and yet you bless them. And us, we feel the same, and yet you bless us. You love us so much, you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever puts their faith in him will not perish. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. Thank you for everyone who's here, so special, so precious in your sight. You love each one of us here as if we were the only one here. Bless us, Lord. May this Christmas be the best ever, because we have received Jesus in our hearts. And like the shepherds, we believe and we take action and we tell. Bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.